this. I was just back there praying. Tim, Sheree, welcome. I see you. I was just back there kind of listening and praying a little bit. You know, let's just do something. Let's just pray and believe with Amy right now that all the work that she's put in and all the people that she's been serving. Oh, man, I'd say looking out here is weird. Look at it's like a little, wow, this is cool. You guys have really, wow, this is fun. Let's pray. Father, we pray that you would begin even right now to lead the hearts of these children. The work is being put in, not just physically, but people have been praying and standing. That this is not just a 3-day that we go and have fun with the kids, but we ask that you would begin to draw these families. That maybe the only way to get a hold of these households is to have one of their children come to a VBS. We are asking right now that you, by your Spirit, would move upon this city and this region right now to draw kids into this place. That they would hear the message of the good news, that we can taste and see how good you are. And they can understand the gospel from a different perspective, and that would just permeate into their homes, and we would see your kingdom advance through these next 3 days. So I pray that you would just bless the work that's been put in this, but also let's see the fruit of the work also. With all this in there, we pray this will be a fruitful week, and we declare it in the name of Jesus. Amen. If you have your Bibles, open up to John chapter 10. And we're going to talk this morning. This is not a message, by the way. I want to encourage you. This is not a message of correction. This is a message more of instruction. And I hope you'll hear that because there's going to be some things. We're going to talk about hearing the voice of the Lord and the difference between getting a word from God and being led by God. You understand the difference? We're going to talk about that today. I believe that every single one of us should know the voice of the Lord, and we're going to get to it in a second. But we also need to understand that we live a life every single day that we ought to be led by that voice. We ought to be led. It shouldn't just be a time where we wait on God. One of the biggest mistakes people make in the church today, if you hear me, is that we are waiting on a word from God to go do something when he's calling us to go do something and be led by him. You see, steering a vehicle when it's not moving is difficult. But once that thing gets moving, it's easy to turn and move and to lead that vehicle in a better place. A lot of times we want to be parked cars waiting on God to ignite us to go do something when instead he's calling us to, by faith, go, and he will lead us every step of the way. And I really believe that I want to see a church where we become mobile, and we'll get to that part in just a second. And that actually is because I think Kenny just walked out, so I shouldn't give him credit yet. But we were actually yesterday up in Carmel, and we were finishing up a job just because we just want to get done in the morning, so we had to go back next week. And I was telling him about some of the message I was sharing, and he says, you know, this is really awesome. And he added something. So even at the conclusion, I'm adding his point for the last part of it today because it was a really good one. I believe as we are being led by the Lord every day, we're going to see the fruit of that in an awesome way. So let's start out with John chapter 10. We all know this, and it would help if I was there. So John chapter 10. This is just, let's read a couple of verses. We all know this so well. Starting at verse 1, verily I say unto you, he that enters not by the door of the shepherd into the sheepfold, but climbs out another way, this is a thief and a robber. But he that enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his sheep by name, and he leads them out. And when he puts forth his own sheep, he goes before them, as the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And the stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of a stranger. This is the summary of this morning. We all have a good shepherd who wants to lead us. We know his voice so well. How? We'll get to that in a minute. We want to know his voice so well that we're led by him and not by the voice of a stranger. You know, today we have caller ID. Remember back in the day when you picked up the phone blindly? Remember that? You had to pick up a phone, not know who called. You're like, hello? No, I don't recognize your voice. No. You remember that, the recognition? My wife will call me, and I'm like, she doesn't have to say, even though we have caller ID, she would have to say, hi, honey, it's me. I should probably know her voice after, you know, over 20 years. But, you know, when someone does call me and I don't recognize the voice or the number, and it still happens today, I go, hello? And you're a little apprehensive because you don't know that voice. And just this week it happened to me. We're like, hello? Yeah? And I played along, by the way, for the first 30 seconds or something. Mm-hmm, yeah, yeah. I'm sorry, who is this? I don't know your voice. And that's the thing about it. When we're as Christians, we should never get to a point where we're not being led because we know his voice so well. But the problem is sometimes we think he only speaks this way when he actually speaks by his Spirit. When we learn to be led by the Spirit, we're going to know His voice so well that we will not have to stop and go, hold on, I got to go hear from God for a minute. We should be led by Him in such a way. Now, I will say there's something. I want to qualify one thing. And I was just, this actually came upon me this morning as I was back there just kind of praying. I was thinking of Diane when I said, how many of you, if you ever get around Diane when she's praying, it's kind of fun. She's a powerhouse. And Chuck's like, amen, brother. Just be careful where you go here. And Diane's looking at me with that look that my wife gives me when I shouldn't be speaking. And so Chuck's like, okay, be careful here. You know, you get around someone like Diane who's wired to be more of an army. We do have a time where we don't, when we are standing and fortifying a position and we're declaring and decreeing things over things, this is a little bit different than your daily walk. Would you agree? You're not going to an intercessory prayer meeting. You're not going, this is, when we are standing and declaring the word of the Lord, there is a time of warfare. And when does a soldier go out? When the general tells them to. So there's a different time that I do want to, I don't know why this morning I felt like I said to some of you out here, there's a time where you need to sit back and you need to make sure that your plans are fortified. I was listening to a teaching by Kenneth Copeland this week about, there was a boy up until 12 years old, he was so poor he never even had a pair of shoes to put on. And it, you know, I like, when I know the topic of what I'm going to preach about, I just start listening to things that are out there. And this was one of them. And he said this boy was so poor that he didn't have anything. And all of a sudden, one day he got a revelation. If I could just hear the voice of God, I will prosper. He goes, I don't know what it meant. I didn't know anything. He is poor. And so one day he started getting into the word and reading. And the Lord gave him an idea. When someone comes to you and brings you an idea, I don't want you to dismiss it. I don't want you to do anything about it. I want you to go and I want you to pray about it. I want you to get into it. And he goes, sometimes it would take this man days to pray. He'd go out for food once a day or twice a day, whatever he felt led, and he'd go back and pray. And once the Lord revealed to him what the word was and how to apply it, he did it, and he became a multimillionaire. And he didn't mention the name. All I know on the bottom, it says, this is a name that most homes recognize because the man is so wealthy. But it all started by him not doing something out of his flesh. Because here's the deal. When you hear the Lord and you don't do something, it's fear-based. When you hear the Lord and you do it in your own strength, it's flesh-based. So we got to be careful not to let fear or flesh rule us in hearing the Lord too. There's some good warnings out there for us. Or if we think we're hearing God and we do something and get in our flesh, He can correct us. But let's just be led by Him. But there is a different time to wait and hear the voice of the Lord for a plan, for an instruction, so we don't go out there and put ourselves in a place that we don't need to be harm-wise either. If you're going to go and stand and declare something, let's make sure we got a plan that we're ready to follow through and do it exactly the way the Lord showed us. But on a daily walk basis, that's what I'm talking about today. I want to be so led by the Lord that I know His voice. But I don't have to go and ask Him, hey, should I wake up this morning? I want to be led by the Lord in such a way there's freedom in that. We're going to get to that in a second. Sometimes when I hear people, and I was actually talking to a couple people this week, and I share this with them. I said, you're going to hear this again on Sunday. But why are you waiting on a word to, and this is when in the prophetic, spirit-filled church that we are, sometimes we're waiting on a word, but we filter everything through that word. We base every decision based on what we think. What if the word that you heard back then was to be applied differently, but you've framed your whole world around this when it really was this? We hear in part sometimes to go and act it out in faith. And therefore, we then make decisions based on part of the word. We don't have the fullness of it. And then we start finding ourselves almost manipulating circumstances to see what we think God wanted. In reality, it wasn't God wanted us to do that so we could see this. We got to be careful that when we are led by the Lord, we let Him lead us all the way. Not just hear something here and then do it ourselves. We then find ourselves in a place where though we heard the Lord in a part of something, we start following out the way we thought it should look, and then we find ourselves in a mess. Like, I guess I miss God. You might not have missed God. Maybe you missed the application of what you heard. And I'm sharing this with you because we have a lot of people, and I'm going to share a story that I'm allowed to share. I think my wife's going to let me. She's going to let me share this story. But back when we were going to buy our first home, and yeah, she's like, oh, great, here we go, that one again. I've shared this story. Now, privately, you guys have heard the story a lot. But we were about to buy our first home. It was right down, actually only about four blocks from here. And we were renting a little apartment. It was time to get out of there. And so we're sitting there, and we're praying. And she goes, I feel like the Lord spoke to me. That's our home. I'm like, I'll go with you. All right, let's do this, because I like that house a lot, and I'm going to go with you. So I did. I began to pray, and back then I had some great spiritual, I still have them, some great spiritual wisdom, and I felt like the Lord spoke to me a number not to go beyond. I go, that's weird, and that's a little bit more than I was expecting to pay. So I began to pray, and I called, and this man down in Georgia, he says to me, brother, I was praying for you, and I don't know why I should give you this number. And it was the same number I heard. I'm like, okay, I'll even tell you. It was $156,000. I still remember this day. This was 20, long time later. And $156,000. So we get there, and there's a realtor involved, of course. And you're going back and forth with counteroffers. And we got that thing down. We were at 156, and they were at 157. What do? Split the middle and go home, right? No, not when you heard Lord. But she heard the Lord was supposed to have the house. They heard it's not. They're not going below 157. Maybe we split the middle. What do? You sit there and you go, God, what's going on here? Why are we not hearing you? Something's off here. And so we're kind of perplexed. We don't want to call the realtor back because we don't want to disobey what we heard. And so while we're there praying and waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting, the realtor calls us and goes, hey, I got some bad news for you. Like, it can't be any worse than what we're going through. Go ahead and tell us. And she said the seller, after they got so close to selling their home, they realized this is their dream home and they don't want to sell it. They're backing out of the sale. So all offers are off the table. You know what we did? We both were thinking, we heard something. What were we hearing? We were hearing something to be led to go. End up not being that home, but just a few blocks away, we found the home that we did live in for a while. And so I don't know, to this day, we don't know. But we went ahead as we were led, and the door closed. Could I say, boy, I miss it? I could. But I'm not going to stop going and pursuing the things of God because I do miss it. And that's an encouragement. Failure is not always a bad thing. Learn from those things and realize, go back and say, okay, Lord, how did I miss it? And go, we got to be careful not to go and get ourselves just so down because we misapplied or missed the, we got to be careful because I still want to be every day led by the Lord. So we got to be careful when we hear the Lord, that we hear him clearly, and we also hear it and apply it the way he wants it applied. But I'm way out of my notes. So jump over to Psalms 23, and I'm jumping way ahead, and I'm going to see where I get today. This will be fun. I wrote all these notes, so I didn't do that, by the way. And there we go. All right, Psalms 23. We all know this very well. We're just going to read a couple verses. The Lord is my shepherd. We just read that, right? He's our shepherd. He's our good shepherd. We know his voice. We're his sheep. And because he's my shepherd, and he leads me in such good places, and he's protecting me and covering me, and I know his voice so well, I should never have any want in my life. You guys hear that? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. If we're being led by the good shepherd, every need we have should be fulfilled. Everything in our life that God has promised us, we should be walking in the fullness of it. And then it says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. That doesn't sound that bad, does it? He makes me do something that I would enjoy. And then he leads me beside still waters. This is phenomenal. And then it goes, and after he makes me and leads me, then he goes, he restores my soul. He leads me to the paths of righteousness for his namesake. Even though I walk through the valley of the death, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You are preparing a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup is running over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Because I'm a child of God, I'm led by God. He's making me lie down. He's leading me to pastures. Even when I'm going through a trial, right there in the presence of my enemies, God is there with me, blessing me. That's the God that we serve. We are led by him. Jesus, in the last couple of months, we've referred to this a couple of times. In Matthew chapter 4, is Jesus was led by the Spirit, where? To the wilderness. When he leads you, you go. No matter where it is, you be led and you follow what the leading of the Lord. When you do get there, you get to a place like, I don't know why I'm here, but I'm here in faith. I'm here believing I heard the Lord and I go. And then you wait until the next instruction. One of the analogies that I came up with earlier, I love sports. I played sports. I love it. And this last week, I'm not going to mention any basketball players by name because it'd be wrong of me. But I stayed up really late this week to watch a certain team lose, and I was really tired the next day, regretting the fact that I wasn't regretting at all. It was nice to see that team lose. And so I like to watch sports, and I'm fun about it. I have no idea what team that is. They got eliminated this week. They're out west, by the way. And anyways, when you play sports, though, especially back when it was football for me, I liked it, I really loved football. And when I remember going to two-a-days. Remember that? Anybody remember two-a-days? And they're great. So you get in the summer, and but here's the problem. Two-a-days just started the official practice. When you were able to play, we had a really good program in Michigan where I was from. We didn't really stop practice. We stopped the season, and then we had optional workouts. You know what that means, right? If you want to play next year, you go to those workouts. I think we still do that everywhere. And then those optional workouts become camps to go to in the summer. And so you go to in Michigan, we went to some of the colleges, we went to their camps. You are working all year round on getting yourself better. You're improving yourself. You're training. You're preparing yourself for the season. And as Christians, I don't think we do enough time in preparation. I don't think we spend enough time in the presence of the Lord that when we are out there on a daily basis being led by the Lord, we don't spend the private time training ourselves to hear his voice, to be in his word, to understand that when we hear something, one of the most dangerous places to be when you're being led by the Spirit is not to know the word of God, which should confirm this voice of the Lord. So we're in dangerous territory. So then all of a sudden we're working out, we're running. Back then we had a ski lodge right by our house where I lived, and so about like 4 or 5 miles away. And about once a week, come on boys, let's go run the hill. How many of y'all know that ski lodges, ski hills, you go down, right? That's fun. You get a lift to go up, and you ski down. Not when you're a football player. We got our helmets and our shoulder pads on, and we ran up. Those hills, they were fun, a lot of fun. It's like the Park Hill here, but bigger. By the time 2 days came, then you have even more longer days, and you're working, you're training. Why do you do all that? So when the season starts, you should be training your body in such a way that you should supposed to have less injury. You're supposed to know the play. They go through practice. You watch game films. You go and you learn the plays. That way when the coach calls the play during the game, you don't have to go back and go, hey, guys, what was that? What was that play again? I forgot. You're going, and then we get in the old backyard. You go that way, I go this way. No, as soon as that quarterback gets the name of that play, they call it out, everybody on the field knows what to do. Why? Because they were prepared. They were trained. And as Christians, we don't spend enough time getting in the game plan, knowing the book so well that when God calls an audible, and says, hey, I want you to go here today. Whoa, hey, I was happy with my plan over here. I want you to go there. Because when you go there, there's something that I have for you. Why? Because we're a part of a team. And God is the coach telling us what to do. Why? We get in his presence and we learn. We prepare ourselves. We train. We practice. We work out. We do these things. And then when it's time to go and live out in the real world, we are going out full of the Spirit, be led by the Spirit, and to do kingdom purposes. No matter if you're at your job site or your homes, we are to be led to go in places and do things. And I'm going to get to that in a minute. But our daily walk, let's go through a couple of verses. Romans chapter 8. I hope this is making sense. I just feel like I'm just on a mode today. I'm excited about this. I was telling Kenny yesterday, I was just really excited. I want to be a church that walks out of here being led. Not just waiting. And sometimes I feel like we get to a point where I don't want to be stagnant. And I'm not saying we are, but I don't want to get there. I don't want to get to a point where we're like, okay, hold on. I can't make decisions until I hear God's clearly. Okay, get some faith out there and start moving the train and let him steer you. I want to be a church moving, not just waiting. This VBS, let's just wait. No. I mean, I'd say they're prepared. We're prepared for kids to come in this place. Wait till here in a couple hours. It's going to look totally different again. I want to be so prepared for what we do out there that God is moving in our, whether we're, it doesn't matter where we're at. Romans 8, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. What shows me that I'm a child of God is that I'm led by my Father. And then it tells you, it goes even deeper. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption whereby you cry out, Dad. Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit And we are children of God. And if children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God. Joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, we may be glorified with him together. We are so united. We're not just a child of God. We're an heir. That means everything that was rightfully belonged to Jesus belongs to me. Is that true? Co-heirs? Everything that God put into Jesus, he's put into you. Our spirit. You know, when you're born again, everybody in the world has a spirit. Everybody. But when God's spirit rises, look at this, that your spirit and his spirit come together in agreement. 1 Corinthians 2, which I'm leaving out today. Actually, I X that out of my notes today. It says this, that when the power of his spirit makes alive our spirit, we got to make sure, just like anybody know that we have the mind of Christ. Okay, if we have the mind of Christ, does anybody have a bad thought anymore, or is it just me? There's me. Okay. Well, here's why. Because even though you've been given the mind of Christ, you still have your mind in the natural realm. You still got to take the thought captive. You got to still guard your mind and take and pull down those strongholds. Why? Because just because we have the mind of Christ doesn't mean we have to don't operate in the mind of Christ. Just because you have the Holy Spirit inside of you doesn't mean your old man, we talked about this a little bit last week, doesn't want to come out and exercise its rights still. Even though it's dead, when we give life to that, it allows itself to feel like it has power. And we end up doing things and thinking things and being a part of things we shouldn't be because the Holy Spirit was not being the leader our human spirit was. We have got to yield every day to the Holy Spirit and his power in our life to be led and not just be led by our flesh. Our flesh will lead us to destruction. Always. Jump over a few to Galatians chapter 5. We're just going to read one verse. Yep. But if you be led by the Spirit, verse 18, sorry, you are not under law. So just the first part is, if you're a child of God, you're led by the Spirit of God. Now, if you are being led by the Spirit of God, you no longer operate under legalism. You no longer say, I can't. Do you know, as a Christian, those words should not exist in our life. I can't should be taken from our vocabulary. If you say, well, I can't go and listen to that music, it's evil. No, 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 no. I can't drink that. I can't eat that. No, if you're led by the Spirit, it should be, I get to eat of the fruit over here and I don't eat of that tree because it's a choice I've made by my Spirit leading me. When we start living into the I can'ts, we start getting into legalism. We start judging people who don't have our convictions and we start living by law and not grace. And so we got to be careful. Paul says, if you live by the law, it will kill you. The letter of the law destroys, but the power of the Spirit brings life. And so when we understand, when we live by the Spirit, we bring life. And I'm not saying we should not do, I'm not saying those things are off limits. We still should, Adam and Eve should have never eaten at that tree, right? We're still saying there's things that are wrong. We're not, I just don't have a conviction. I can go out and, lie, cheat, steal, or whatever. I can do whatever I want. I just don't have convictions. Well, then you probably better read this, because this says you should. So there is still a playbook we follow every day. But when it comes to being led by the Lord, we got to be careful that we don't allow ourselves to be led by legalism and law. The law, if we live our lives every day, and I grew up this way. I grew up in a place where I felt like I can't do this. I think I might have told the story before, but when I was in ninth grade, I don't know if you guys know this or not, I was trying to become an attorney to my parents because none of my two siblings before me were able to go to dances at schools because dancing was evil. Only Satan dances, I guess. I don't know. But anyways, so I guess we never read those verses in the Bible where they were dancing and other stuff too in the Lord, but this wasn't really dancing for the Lord. Let's be honest, it was a school dance. So let's be honest, okay, it's a kind of a loss here. So instead, what I did in my great wisdom as a ninth grader, I went out and got a book called Christians, and it had the word don't dance, and it crossed out. I'm like, that's my book. So I got in there, and I read about three pages, and I said, Mom and Dad, this book. And they go, you really don't have to do that. You can go to dance this year. Yes, and my older siblings were, you get anything you want. And they hated me for it. Anyways, we won't go there. It's a different story. I'm still getting ministered by that. Adam got away with everything. But no, here's the deal. But I live in a home that dancing was bad. Rock music was bad. And I'm not saying you should or shouldn't. I'm just saying when we're not careful, when you put a legalistic law on something, people are always going to wonder what's on the other side of that wall. It's that whole thing where I can't, watch me. You said that's bad? I'll see for myself. If you're like me, my mom's like, when I was like 6 years old, it's the true story. I'm telling a lot of bad stories about myself. I was, last week I did the green bean one again. That was really bad for those I didn't hear it for. And so when I was like 6 years old, my mom's like, don't touch that. That's hot. Stove, hot water for my mom's, I don't know, tea or whatever she was cooking. Well, I didn't believe her, so what do? I grab the pan, hot water comes all over, and I mean, my mom, I told you it was hot. I go, now I know for myself it's hot. That's kind of the way I grew up, was let's just see how many mistakes I can make before I learn. But you know what? That's not the right way to learn, by the way. But either way, we got to be careful that as Christians, we don't put a bunch of fences out there for people to don't. At some point, our younger children who are going to grow up in this world have to know that the reason that fence is there is because when you're driving down the highway, anybody ever drive I love going to the mountains in Gatlinburg. We're driving up those steep mountains, and you look to your side, and there's a white line. That white line with about a 30-foot drop is not very, but you know what I like? I like the ones that have guardrails. Now, am I going to go and drive on the guardrail? No, I'm going to stay on the white line. Because a lot of you Christians out there, well, hey, you know what? The guardrail, let's go ahead and ride the guardrail. At least I won't go. Why would you want to get that close to trouble? Because that's not being led, by the way. The guardrail is not legalism. That is a boundary set for your own protection. But it's nice as we are being led to go and follow the road in the path, but the guardrail is there to protect us in case we make a mistake. And I believe that's what grace does. It covers us when we get off path, but thankfully it's not going to let us go down a cliff. And we understand that God's laws are there to protect us. So as parents, I strongly encourage you, when we raise our children, let's raise them up knowing that we tell them that God's laws are good. And we are being led by the Spirit rather than a bunch of do's and don'ts. And they're going to one day want to go, why can't I do that? Oh, it's just good for you, son. Eat your beans. It's good for you. I don't want to eat my beans. I hate lima beans. But I had to. All kinds of stories today. Okay, let's move on. That brought back bad memories, by the way, eating lima beans when they were cold. Anyways, they're bad when they were warm. So we eat it, but you do it. It's good for you. Well, it's not good for me. It's good. When we then show them why it's good, and we let them learn and them grow into it, and you allow your children to make mistakes, you allow your children to see why that was unhealthy in a safe boundary. They're in a safety net with you as a parent. And so we let them know this is a boundary when they cross. I'll never forget the times I came home, and when I was not living with the Lord, we'll leave it at that. And I came home one night, and I probably was not in the right state of mind. We'll leave it at that. And my dad knew it. He looked at me and said, son, you probably should go to bed. You know what? I didn't sleep a wink because I knew I disappointed my dad. Got up the next morning, he's out mowing. I'm like, I'm going to avoid that man at all costs. I'm going to avoid him. But I couldn't. I walked out right to the mower, and I said, Dad, I'm sorry. He said, son, those are your decisions. You're 18 years old, and I don't approve of them. I love you, and I just hope that you learn it's not what I have for you. He didn't, yell and scream at me, and I thought, wow, those are the moments in my life I look back and thank God I have a dad who gave me that grace to fail. But you know what was inside of me? The Holy Spirit. That Holy Spirit conviction inside of me going, that's how I was too. I was disappointed, but I still loved you. Let's be that to our children. Let's raise them up to hear the voice of the Lord and be led by the Lord, that when they do miss it, there's a safety net and a protection for them to be loved anyways. Amen? That's really good. That's a lot better than I'm realizing today. Okay, good. So anyways, let's jump on to Kenny's point. This is actually Kenny's sermon now. But as we are being led by the Lord every day, we are to be in a great relationship with our Father, learning and training. Our daily walk ought to be getting in His Word, getting in His presence, so we're so full of the Word and so that when we are led every day, we have some fuel. We have the coach calls an audible. We know what the audible is because we're in the Word that morning hearing it, right? We know this. Those of you who don't like audible, the audible is when a quarterback goes to the line of scrimmage, and before he snaps the ball, the coach from the sideline goes, hey, look, I noticed that the safety has moved over there. Not that you guys care. But anyways, you're like, okay, some of you non-football people are going, just move on. This is terrible. But he notices something on the defense that's different that day. And he goes, I'm going to call an audible because if you do this play, I guarantee it'll work. And so God knows that as you follow his plan, the enemy does something different. God's like, oh, good, I got this one. I want you to go here today. And maybe that thing you've been praying for all week happens just like that because you were led by the Lord to go do that. I want to be that person. I want to be so ready and so full of the Spirit, living up, filling myself up on my off time, that when I get out in the real world, I'm ready to be led by my Father, by His Spirit. But what's the purpose of it? This is what Kenny says to me yesterday. He goes, that's a really good word about being led by the Spirit. He goes, but what's the purpose of it? Let's go to 1 Corinthians 12. And Kenny, I'm going to try to do justice for what you said yesterday. If I don't, you come up and correct me and just take care of it. Just take it over. And I'm okay with that, by the way. Completely okay with that. 1 Corinthians 12, though, is a phenomenal chapter when it comes to the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Verse 1 of chapter 12, and then we're going to get through this. Now concerning spiritual gifts, or really the words italicized, so now concerning being spiritual. Brethren, I don't want you to be ignorant. Now listen to this. This is a very powerful, powerful line here. You know that when you were a Gentile, that means you're lost. You were carried away into these dumb idols, even then, you were led. So when you were a heathen, you were led by these dumb things. Now look at the parallel. He's going to say, back then when you were lost, you were still being led. Led by yourself, led by evil, you were being led still. Leaving the analogy here for us in a second to be led to do good things, right? So this is powerful. Even then we were led. Even though you thought, oh, these people out there thinking, I'm independent, I don't need God. You're still being led by something. You're still being controlled. Verse 3, Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus a curse, that no man say Jesus Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And these are the diversities of operations, but it's the same God which works in all things. Verse 7, this is one of my starred verses that I love. But to the manifestation, singular word there, of the Spirit is given to every single person sitting in this room, born-again believer, to profit withal. So he's about to go and give you a list of the manifestation, singular, of the Holy Spirit. So I'm not going to argue and fight with people. I don't call these the gifts of the Spirit. I believe those are found in a different chapter. This is the manifestation of Spirit-filled believers out in the real world. This is your calling card. And this is what Kenny was saying yesterday. That's so great. But what happens when these people get so full of the Lord and they get so full of Spirit, they want to be led by the Spirit and they hear the voice of God? Why are we not getting words for them out there? Why are we not doing something? Or even in the church, by the way, we can still get words for people here too. What if it says this, but the manifestation is given to every one of us to profit everybody. We are to be so led by the Lord, it doesn't just profit us every day, but we're so led to go profit the world around us. Not only are we living in the blessing, but we become the overflow. And the people around us are getting prophetic words. They're getting healed. They're getting free. They're getting whatever we are led to do that day. I would say if you go walk up to a stranger and you start speaking in tongues, it might scare them. Maybe you're not being led. But if you go up and give them a word of knowledge, it might change your life. So we have to understand that these nine things listed right here are not just gifts that we just want to flow in. It's a manifestation of the Holy Spirit to that person for that time. So, you know them all. For each one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, word of knowledge, faith, gifts of healing, working of miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, tongues, and interpretation. But all these work the same Spirit, dividing every man severally as he wills. As God wills, worship team, you can come on up. As God wills. The Spirit of God is leading us in such a way that when we're walking down the street and we see somebody and God begins to speak something in your heart for them, that word that they encounter from you could change your life forever. Or what if you saw somebody who's just sick and you just felt led because gifts of healing is one, right? That was in that list. This isn't the promised covenant healing of believers now. This is the fact that every believer has the right to be healed because of the cross and the protection that we've been given through the Word of God. This is us going out there in manifestation of the Holy Spirit to somebody who needs a supernatural touch from God through you. Now, it's still covenant. It's still God's Word. It's still His healing. But this is the manifestation of God saying, go out and do something to change the world around you. I want to be a church that is no longer stagnant and waiting for God to say something, but we're out there moving already. We're out there in the place. This right here is huddle time. I don't know about you, but one thing I really loved, sarcasm included here, is after the Friday night football game, I loved it. We all went out and celebrated because actually my senior year, we didn't lose a game. It was really fun. And we were really excited. And we'd go out. And then after we got home, went to bed at a nice early hour, our coaches loved that Saturday morning. Saturday morning video. We had to go through that stupid video the night before the game to go watch. And then after we watched the video and the coach let us all about all of our mistakes that we made and everything else, and he mocked us a little bit for some things and on. Then the next thing we do is we go get the video of the team we're playing the next week already. I'm like, coach, it's Saturday morning. Can I sleep in? No. Not if you're going to be ready to go next week's game. Not if you want to win next Friday night. We enjoyed the celebration of Friday night. And that's why you hear a lot of coaches when they're interviewed. I don't think they're joking. They say, hey, we want to celebrate this week up. We got to get rid of the next team. They're not joking. They're getting in film. They're looking. Why? They want to see tendencies. And I'll never forget, ever forget, as I was a defensive corner, I'll never forget looking and seeing certain lineups of the team and go, I know what they're going to do. Why? Because I saw it in the film. I was ready to go the next day. And I would say, as Christians, if we can get so in tune with the Holy Spirit, so in tune with His Word, we're going to know what the enemy's doing. We're going to know. And we're going to be so led by God that we're going to see breakthrough in everything. I've been down that path. I'm not going there. I'm going here. We have got to stay prepared. We've got to get His Word. We've got to know His Word so well. We've got to get in His presence and encounter that peace. Because when we do miss it, the first thing that happens, if you lose your peace this week, go back and find out where you lost it. Somewhere you missed hearing the Lord. Go back. Repent and get back on that track and follow. Be led. I want a church. We're a Spirit of Life church. Spirit of Life. Led by the Spirit of Life. To follow the ways of the Lord every day. Amen? Let's do this. Let's be led. This week, I want all of you to be so led that at 4:30, you could be here tomorrow. And you could be here to help these kids. You can help, a lot of times I'm just running. Like for the carnival, my job, it's not because I eat it. You guys are going to jump there right away. I know you are. For the carnival, I just go get bags of candy and keep refilling candy, everybody. And I didn't eat one piece that maybe one or two. But either way. But you see, just serve. Just be there to help serve. And so we can go and let these kids walk in this place and be blessed and hear the word of the Lord, and you can go out there and minister. Maybe it's at your jobs. I don't care where it is. Let's be a Spirit-filled church. It's kind of like on Pentecost Sunday. Not the message that all of you were thinking that I was going to be preaching, but it's a message on conviction. Because sometimes in Spirit-filled churches, we focus so much on the candles and the lights and the Holy Ghost power. Woo-hoo! We forget the Holy Ghost is a God of conviction, of sin, and strongholds. We also got to remember that when we hear the voice of God, it's not just for you to get goosebumps and go, oh, I heard God. No, go do something with it. Be a doer of the word. Get out in the streets and do something so the world gets something changed upside down because of you doing something with the word. Amen? Father, I thank you right now that we are a people who are motivated not just to hear your voice, but to be a doer of the word, to go out and see the manifestation of your Spirit through us. I pray that this church receives a revelation this morning that maybe we've been waiting on something. Instead, we're supposed to be led to go do something. Let us be motivated this morning to get out of our chairs and to go and be kingdom changers. Let the world around us see that these people, they're led. They're led by God. To lead them to people who are broken. Lead them to people who need a touch from you. That we would be not just led to hear you for our own lives. That's kind of selfish. But to be led so we see the world around us get changed. As we get the chance to minister your love, your grace. I pray today, God, motivate us. Move us. Let us see a revelation. Hearing your word and hearing your voice on a daily basis will change not only our life, but the lives of those around us. We pray this in Jesus' name. As you guys stand today, I want to share one story with you. As many of you know, I love having different work. And this last week, we were at a Taco Bell, which is shocking because we go to a lot of them. And those that work around me know we got a lot of Taco Bells. And the manager there just bought a house and was going through all these problems. And I've known her because we worked in that way before. And at one point, I walked in to get a drink, and I was hot. And she started talking, and I said, I knew that anyway, she's a single mom and having a rough life. And I was telling her, I said, you know what, Pastor? I said, can I talk to you about something? And I wasn't in there for, my son said 20 minutes. I think it was like five. But it could have been seven or eight. And I was in there, and all I had to do is have a chance to encourage her to hear the gospel from somebody that was a painter outside than someone in a church. I don't know where you are with the people around you, but sometimes they need to hear the gospel from somebody that's different than the normal person they see every day. And I was able to just pour out some stuff, and it actually ended up being, the funny story was, I shared a story about my wife and I with her. I was like, you know, it's funny, and because I want to obviously, you know, just, I don't know, there's a chance. Everywhere we go, don't miss those opportunities. She texted me later last night about some stuff, and she said, thanks again just for thanking, for talking to me. You know, we have no idea. You could be working, you could be out there on a basketball, I don't care where you're at. You are being a witness for Christ. Let's go out and live the gospel in such a way that everybody we come in contact with sees Christ in you, and you are led to go there. Amen? All right.
Go ahead and have a time of response and worship and prayer. So the prayer team can go ahead and come up, and if you have any, just feel free to come up to one of the people up here.
Turns violently inside of my chest. I don't have Jesus loves me, this I know.
Continue to worship and pray. Feel free to fellowship. We are going to start moving the chairs. If you can stay and help, that would be awesome. And have a blessed week. We'll see you all next week or tomorrow.